You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Dave, if you're new here. Let me pull this up. So I want to start off by apologizing. I am terrible at sermon titles. Like, I can never come up with a good sermon title. I usually steal them because I can't come up with a good one. And my sermon title today, we're doing this series, By My Spirit, and the title is Whip It. And that, I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, it does, but it doesn't. But when I hear that the Whip It, I only think about the creepy five, like, nerdy white guys with red, like, 8-bit cones on their heads. Making a satirical, like, take on American violence when that song, you know, you whip everything into shape kind of deal. But that's not what I'm trying to say today. After all, it is Holy Week, and it is Palm Sunday. And did you get your palms? Everyone's got palms? Yeah? Yeah, good. Got your palms. Be careful with those. There are two types of palms, actually. There are these type. Okay, but this isn't what I grew up with. I grew up with palms that had like all the, for a while we had the palms with the little leaves on the thing, and they were soft and they were like fans. And then one Palm Sunday we switched to these when I was a kid, and they became swords, and they were awesome. And we gave them, they became like lethal weapons. Like, you could sword fight with people during church. It was fantastic. And it would usually end with someone getting like paper cuts because you could get going really sharp. And that was a bad thing. And so I knew normally would get, you know, in trouble for that. So the title of this sermon may have triggered some childhood, like, literal wounds in me, you know, basically engaging in sword fighting and ending up in trouble because I whipped someone too hard or something in the middle of the sermon, which I don't recommend you do today. Anyway, you're not here to, like, relive my childhood wounds. It's Palm Sunday. So we're going to look at Scripture today. We're going to look at Matthew 21, and we're going to kind of dive in a little bit, verses 1 through 17, because this tells the story of Palm Sunday and what happened. So Jesus, he comes to Jerusalem as king, and he says this. It says in Matthew 21, verse 1 through 17, it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, I'm terrible at pronouncing cities too, apparently. On the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. Now, Mark actually gives us a little bit more information. I don't have a slide for this, but Mark gives us a little more information about what's going on here. He says, Jesus said, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it, bring it here, and if anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. They went, and they found the colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway, crazy. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? And they answered as Jesus had told them to do, and the people let him go. This could be like equivalent of me like telling my 10-year-old son, Ben, hey, I need you to go down to the new car lot and just go and say, hey, my dad needs like the smallest car you've got that no one's ever driven. And, you know, they go in, they get the keys, and they're like, oh, okay, just go. Just take the car. And it's kind of crazy if you think about it. Literally, he knew where there was going to be a donkey there. He told them to go. They went, they saw the donkey, and they just took a donkey. Like, did they steal it? I don't think they stole it. But they gave it to him, right? So why the donkey? Why the donkey? This is what it says. Pick up in verse 4. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. So they actually did it. Like, I don't know if you would have the courage to do it, but they actually did it. These disciples actually did it. They went down to the donkey dealer and they just gave him a donkey, right? They just gave him a donkey. And it continues and it says, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowd answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Now, there are a few things going on here, okay? First, what's kind of happening is a parade. We got a parade happening here. And who doesn't love a good parade? This parade only has one float. It's a donkey carrying Jesus, right? The parade is significant, actually, because it's Jesus entering into Jerusalem. He has arrived. He is entering in. The second thing that's kind of interesting that's happening here is actually a major public statement. Like, Jesus is actually making a major public statement. He's fulfilling Zechariah 9:9, this prophetic word that says, See, your king comes to you gently and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the little donkey, right? And here he is. He's making a statement. This is a moment where Jesus is saying who he is. He's saying, I'm the one you've been waiting for. I am the Messiah. The third thing is there's a crowd of people, right? There's a crowd of people forming. And they're throwing coats and they're throwing palm branches onto this path, making a public declaration that this is their king. This is their king. They're shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. They are entering the city. Jesus is entering the city. There was excitement. There was relief. There was hope. All those people were feeling those things. Like, there was this hope that finally the king is here, right? They felt relief that, oh, maybe we won't be oppressed anymore, right? And there was excitement. This is something new. This is something we've been waiting for. Someone living under a rock then says, I like to use imagination when I read scripture. So I sort of picture this person like crawling out of a gutter or an alleyway going, Who is this guy? Like, and that's what it is. Some of the people said, Who is this guy? You know, and they're like, you hear the crowd saying, MVP, MVP. You know, I mean, they're so excited. This is it. This is Jesus, right? This is Jesus. They shouted. This is the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Like, they point to him and say, This is the guy. This is the king. There's this public confession that this is the Lord, that this is Jesus Christ. This is the true Messiah. Man, I don't know if, I love Holy Week. I got really excited just sort of diving into the scripture this week and just like, just the storyline of how this week goes is just awesome. So like the parade, that's just like day one. That's day one. And the next day, this is what happens. Jesus enters the temple. We're gonna hit some drama now. Just buckle up. Here we go. In verse 12, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Now, imagine, if you will, you're a Jew who happens to sell doves in the temple. And, you know, it's a Monday. You sell these doves so that people can come and sacrifice the doves because they can't afford, something larger, so they buy doves cheap. And you're there. You're in the temple. It's Monday morning. It's a rough day. I mean, who likes Monday? And for whatever reason, the temple's pretty busy on this Monday. And the money changers are already, they already have a line up, to go see them, and they've already rigged their scale, so they're already cheating people. You just picked up the doves from the temple guard over there because you got kind of a backdoor deal going on with them. Like you sell the doves, the temple takes the doves, and then they get a cut because they give the doves back to you and they don't actually sacrifice them. So you got this little deal going on. So you're bringing the doves back. You're already covered in bird poop. It's Monday. You've heard that there was like this celebration or a parade or something that happened yesterday. You don't know anything about it. You were too busy. And you notice that there's this man sort of leaning against the booth over there by Matthias, who sells cattle and things in the temple. And he looks like he's slowly making something. And you look a little closer and you realize it looks like he's making a whip, you know? And then, like, in a William Wallace voice from Braveheart, that man starts to yell, "It is written! My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." And then he like starts turning tables over and like whipping livestock out of the temple. And even people, get out of here, like clearing out the temple, right? He starts clearing out the temple. He whip it, shape it up, move ahead. No, see? All right, I just threw that in the garage. That was cheap. I really just wanted to laugh. That's the only reason why. He basically cleans the temple out, right? He rids it of all the wrongdoing. He restores the space to a place of prayer and healing. A place of prayer and healing. Verse 14, it says, "Then the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouted in the temple courts, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were ignited." They were indignant. Sorry. They were indignant. Very different word. They were indignant. The teachers were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, 'You, Lord, have called forth your praise'?" And he left them, and he went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Now, awesome, awesome stuff here. If you know anyone who, when you say you go to church, and they're like, "Oh, man, church is boring. Like, it is so boring." Like, tell them to, like, read about Jesus or tell the stories of Jesus. There is nothing boring here. Like, there is nothing boring here. Just tell them to talk to me. I'll talk to them. I love to put myself in the stories of Jesus when I read them. And if you've been around here, you know that I love to do, like, imagination exercises where we stop and we put ourselves in the story as we read it. We're not totally going to do that today. But I would invite you and encourage you to do that. As you read the text of Jesus, imagine where you are in the story. Imagine Jesus, the Messiah, riding into your city on a donkey or a Kia, you know. What are you doing? What are you doing when that's happening, right? Where are you in relationship to where Jesus is as he comes in the parade? Are you in the parade? Are you shouting, "MVP"? You know, or are you shouting, "Who is this guy?" You know, what are the people doing around you? Are you on the edge, sort of observing everything, taking it all in? You know, there but not there, just sort of watching from a distance. See, I think this triumphant entry is actually an invitation for us now. I think it's actually an invitation from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. It's an invitation for us actually now to join the parade. An invitation to declare that Jesus Christ is actually our King. I think it's an invitation for the Holy Spirit to come in and dwell within us. For the Holy Spirit to come into your life, into my life, to enter into our body. See, Jesus is entering the city, And his desire is to enter into our life. And the way Jesus does that today is by his Spirit. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, and I think I have a slide for that. It says, don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? See, we're a temple. In this story of Holy Week, there's another temple and there's some things happening there. But the scripture tells us now we are the temple. And I'm guessing there's some stuff happening there too. Your body is a temple. And when you decide to join the parade, when you are like the kids in the crowd saying to Jesus, Hosanna, son of David, you're saying you are the one and true God. And when you step off the curb and you join the parade, you are inviting the Holy Spirit into your body, which is the temple. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. He says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. So, Jesus, his presence himself to you in a parade. He is present in your parade. You have a choice to enter into that parade or to not. If you do, you give his Spirit permission to live inside of you. And you are a temple. And we read what Jesus did in the temple. He whipped it. No. That's bad. Never mind. I mean, he did, but that's not what I'm saying he's going to do to you. But you're the temple, and he's going to move some things, right? He's going to move some things around. I'm not saying he's going to whip it, but he's going to move some things around in you. You invite the Holy Spirit into your life. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some movement, okay? There's going to be some movement. He's going to restore his temple. He's going to restore his temple. He's going to restore you to the place of prayer. To a place of prayer. To be a place where the Holy Spirit begins to reconstruct you to your original purposes. The Holy Spirit comes in and makes space so that we can show mercy. So that we can show grace and love and compassion. To form us into being a peacekeeper. To move his power by healing the sick and revealing his gifts in you for others. To be a house of prayer, our bodies to be a house of prayer. Why don't we stand? And what I want to do is, I feel like there's kind of two groups today. As we're going to move towards ministry time. And I feel like there's two groups. There's some of you maybe that have never stepped off the curb. You've never joined the parade. You haven't. You might have observed it. You might have observed Jesus. You might have grown up going to church and then you stepped away. You know, when you're here today or you're watching at home. But you've never stepped off the curb and said, that's my MVP. That's my king. That's my Lord. That's Jesus. And you've never done that. And I want to extend that invitation to you today to join Jesus. To join Jesus. To say, hey, I want to declare that I want to follow Jesus. I don't know what the disciples were doing at the parade. I don't know if they were like managing the crowd or like, hey, we need more palms here. Put the palms down. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know if they were behind Jesus as like his posse in the back. That's kind of how I envision them, like backup dancers kind of deal, walking down the parade. But joining his disciples, joining his sort of posse, saying, this is our guy, this is our king. And some of you have never done that. And so I want to invite you today to do that. And what we're going to do is, if that's you, we have a prayer team in the back. To my left, your right, there'll be a few people back there that would love to pray for you. And what we want to do is we just want to do that. We want to say, hey, as simple as I want to invite you in, God. I want to be part of your posse. I want to be part of your parade. I want you as my king. I want you as my king. You are the true Christ. And it's an invitation. And you have an opportunity for that invitation today. So I want to, if that's you, I want to encourage you to do that. The second group of people that I felt like as I was preparing today that the Lord really wanted to do stuff with is that some of us, we've joined the parade, right? We're there. We're in. We've been following Jesus for a while. But our sort of house, our temple, maybe got a couple of rooms that we kind of keep locked up, right? Or a couple of rooms in our temple that we've forgotten about, that we've kind of said, we just keep stuffing that down, you know? We just keep burying this. We don't want Jesus, we don't want the Holy Spirit to deal with that. No, all the rest of the stuff is good. And I felt like today this was an opportunity, another invitation is to just ask the Holy Spirit to come in and do some restorative work. Just to do some restorative work. Just to come in and maybe there's some stuff that you're dealing with and you haven't dealt with it in a while, but God wants to do something. God wants to free you up a little bit. Restore you to what He originally intended you to be. Place of prayer, place of peace, place of mercy, hope, and love. And so I want to invite you again to head back and get some prayer before you leave. I want to invite you to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and just restore you to a place where you can experience Jesus the King in a real, true, and authentic way. And then last thing is, if there's anything else, we want to pray. Like this is one of the main reasons why we get together. Yes, we come together to worship and we come together to get a teaching, but we come together to engage God. Period. To engage God. And so prayer is one of the main ways that we do that. So if there are anything else that you may be experiencing that you want prayer for, we just want to invite you to head back and as we worship some more, just head back and get prayer. Okay? Can we do that? Yeah? All right. Rebecca's got something. All right. Sometimes this happens too, where if you have a word or picture that you feel like is for the whole group, if you just want to bring that by Rebecca or myself, and we'll share that.
I just had a couple quick words. I had a sense that I just got a picture of I think it was the right arm, and I thought it was like a forearm. I'm not sure if it's someone's had an injury in their forearm or just was having pain or something, but that was the sense I had. And then I also got abdominal pain. So I sensed that someone might be having I got abdominal pain and also sort of gut issues too. I don't know if they're separate or the same, but if those resonate with anyone, I'd love to pray for you, or anyone in the prayer team, we'd be delighted to pray for you.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.